We call your attention this morning to the 100th Psalm. It has been read for your entirety, but this morning for your hearing, we would just lift up our key verse, number 4, verse 4. It says, "Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name." Amen. We will use for a theme this morning the power of praise. The power of praise. Those of you that come to our Bible study, you know that we will be selecting one of the 5 dimensions of church growth to preach from every quarter. We may even do it more than that, but this morning we will talk about worship. We will use the dimension that comes from worship. But more specifically than worship, we will look at the issue of praise. Because we need to understand what praise is all about. Maybe that's why some of us don't give any praise, because we don't know what it is. Praise is an expression of God's approval. Am I right about it? When you hear a coach after a team has won the game, when he gives his team praises, he is saying to the team, "I approve of the way you played." Now, if they lose, that's a whole nother story. But praise is given approval. Praise allows God to handle all of the things that we can't handle. You see, because praise invites God into your environment. He's not going to come into your environment unless we are giving him praise. If we do not know the true character of God, then we can't praise God. And that's why we have to learn the true character of God so we can give him praise. Today I will teach that praise fits firmly upon faith and opens the door to God to work for you, in you, and through you. Praise is what opens the door. Y'all know how you walk in Jewels, and before you get there, the door fly open? I haven't been in a while. It still work like that? Yeah. But that's what praise does for God. So you see, when you approach God and you approach God with praise, God is there for you. And you go there because he's been there for you. When we look at this 100th Psalm, the psalm is meant for the whole world. Now, it's something very unique about this psalm because it's meant for the whole world. It is an invitation to the world to worship God. Not just the people here, but to the whole world. Because when you look at that first verse, it says, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands." He's talking about all the lands around the world. This praise has a missionary purpose. And you need to understand that. This praise has a missionary purpose. So you may be asking the question, how could this ever come about? The answer, of course, lies in the fact that this praise is going out to the whole world. And we know we need that today, because just this very morning, there were 4 people shot down in Jerusalem by a sniper or somebody that drove up in a truck. So this praise is on time, because this psalmist is going to invite all of the nations to come to Jerusalem. Are y'all with me? And it says that we are to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. We are to make a loud shout, a glad shout unto the Lord. And see, that's what it's talking about here, that we are to make this glad shout. But this psalmist is inviting all of the nations, and it lets us know that in the first place, it was meant to go out to the whole world and invite them into the temple. And it says that we are to come into God's presence. And now, you know, to come into someone's presence. See, the only way you can recognize a person. I had a lady to turn around the other day so I could look into her face. She saw me in the shopping center, and she thought she recognized me, and I thought I recognized her, but we had to look at each other in the face. She was on our panel here for our breast cancer awareness, and she knew my wife. But in order for us to recognize each other, we had to look in each other's face. So to be in God's presence, he said, if you have seen the Father, you have seen me. So in order for you to recognize God, you have to go into God's presence and realize that he is a personal God. We don't look into his face, but that's what this word presence means. It means in the face of, understanding that we have a God that we can approach. We have a God that we can look at, and a God that we can go to in a personal way. And that's what he's helping these people to understand from all these nations. He says, we are to send out an invitation to all of these groups, to Egypt on the west and to Mesopotamia from the east. They are to meet at the gate. He said, come and meet at the gate. He said, but when you come and meet at the gate, all the pilgrims that's going to come and meet at the gate. And he says he's going to go out and get the cruel Edomites and the warlike Syrians also. They all are going to meet him at the gate. But when they meet the official at the gate, the official is going to tell all of these nations, all of these people in the land, he said, I want you to turn and face away from the temple, because I want you to speak to whatever nation you're coming from. And I want you to be declared this, because you've come to Jerusalem to worship Yahweh Almighty God. But I want you to speak to your nation and let them know the things that I'm about to tell you. And they were to come to the temple with singing, and they were to come there with praises. And that's why he said, make a joyful noise. He said, when you come in to the gate, that you are to make a joyful noise. You're to make a loud shout. You all can't make no loud shout, can you? But when you come into the house of God, we say, hallelujah, praise God, make a joyful shout. Now, I'm not talking about no shout like you in trouble. I'm talking about a joyful shout. You all know the difference between a joyful shout. He said we ought to come into the house and make a joyful shout unto the Lord. He said make a joyful noise unto the Lord. He said all of the lands. He said everybody in every land. Including those in Syria, including those in Mesopotamia, including those in Egypt, including all of the lands. I want you to go out. I want you to carry it back. But I want you to speak to all of these people, and I want them to make a loud shout unto the Lord. A cheerful spirit is keeping up with his nature. See, when you have a cheerful spirit, you're keeping up with God's nature. A happy God should be worshipped by happy people. Happy people. I'm not talking about R. Kelly with happy people. Y'all don't know what I'm talking about. Happy people, y'all. A happy people should worship a happy God. Those are the kind of people. These are they. Happy people worship a happy God. In every land, Jehovah goodness is seen. We were talking about that in Sunday school this morning. Sometimes, you know, this evil of the world blot out. But in every land, you know, we look at that stuff that happened in Jerusalem and Baghdad and all of these things that happened on the news, and we get this tunnel vision that everything is evil. But we don't see the first respondents that come to these scenes. We don't see the people that sacrifice their lives to save people after these things happen. And we don't see how the community comes back and build up after the devil has tried to tear down. Oh, you know, he tried to tear down the New York Marathon. 9/11. But God has allowed all of these things to heal and to come back. Oh, yeah, some people's lives was lost. Because the devil is real and the devil is out there. We always got to be cognizant of the fact that the devil is real. Hell is real. If heaven is real, hell has got to be real. So he said, in every land, Jehovah goodness is seen. Therefore, in every land, hallelujah, I like this. He said, in every land, we ought to be able to praise God. We ought to be able to praise God in Egypt. Oh, I know you kept my people in Egypt in bondage for a long time, but we got out and now we can praise God. I know the Edomites was evil to our people, but we can now praise God. I know all of these people that tried to hurt us have been evil, but we can praise God. The Syrians tried to kill, but we can praise God. Warlike Syrians, all of our enemies, isn't it a good thing that you can ride by your enemy's house and give praises unto God? You can look on your job and see those people that tried to hurt you, those people that tried to stop you, but because they did that, now you can praise God. It says, serve the Lord with gladness. Oh, you don't have to have a long face at the food pantry trying to serve God. Folk to be done turned around and left. You don't have to be mean. And how would it look? Somebody try to come join the choir and you be mean to them. Ain't that a shame? How would it look? I get a new minister and I try to be mean, trying to dictate. Well, I want you to know I'm the pastor here. If you got to go around telling folk you the pastor, then you got a problem. Am I right about it? If you got to tell your children every day that you the mama and you the papa, it's a problem. So he says, serve the Lord with gladness. He is our Lord, and therefore he is to be served. We have to serve him with gladness, but we have to serve people based on God's compassion. And you see in the Bible, it always said in our Sunday school, God has many compassions. Compassion is different from sympathy. Compassion is different from empathy. Compassion is when you look at something and you decided to do something about it. Sympathy identifies with your pain. Empathy put itself in your place. But compassion solves the problem. Jesus looked at the 5,000 and had compassion. He fed them. He looked at the man on Jericho Road, and the Samaritan had compassion on him every time. And he did all of those things for him and paid his way in the end. See, when you, and that's what our ministries here do at the church. We have compassion. When those people come in here at 7:30 in the morning on Tuesday for the day site for the homeless, hallelujah, we will have compassion for them. We'll bring them into a warm place. We're going to feed them a warm meal twice, breakfast and lunch. We're going to teach them Bible study. We're going to let them take a shower. We're going to cut their hair, all of this free, because we have compassion. Are you out there? It says, serve the Lord with gladness. But if you can't serve him with gladness, don't even come trying. He says, we should come before him, not with weeping and wailing, but with psalms of praise. And it says, that third verse says, know that the Lord, he is God. Our worship must be intelligent. Are y'all with me? Our worship must be intelligent. We ought to know whom we worship. And why? We have to know something about who it is that we're worshiping. It is very questionable whether a man can know himself until he knows God. Are you with me? Young ladies, watch these young men. I want to marry you. Do you know God? How you going to take care of me? How you going to be a husband and you don't know who made you? And let me just say something. Let me pause for a minute and take a sidebar here, because We got so many people stand up and say, oh, I'm a self-made man. Well, I just stopped by here this morning to let you know. That is a misnomer. That flies in the face of God. You're telling God that I can make myself. I don't need you. I can do everything. I'm a self-made person. That's the greatest misnomer that we've ever seen. Shall not the creature give reverence to the Creator? We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. It is our honor to have been chosen from all the world to be God's people. It is our privilege to be guided by his wisdom. It is our privilege that he cares for us, that he feeds us. It is our privilege that the sheep are gathered around their shepherd, and the shepherd looks out for the sheep. It is our privilege. It's not our right, but it's our privilege to have a shepherd that knows us by our name. It's our privilege to have a shepherd that knows every hair that's on your head. It's our privilege to know that we serve a God. It's our privilege to know that we serve a God that has given us foreknowledge. God has foreknowledge about you. He knows everything about you. Because he knows everything about you, he has predestined a life, a purpose for you. God has designed all of this for you. No one else knows you like God knows you. So God has mapped out a life for you. And whether you follow it or not, whether you want to take it or not, but God knew everything about you, all your talents, your skills, and God has carved a way in the world, and you have to accept God's will. Self-made man. Look out. He said, we are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Let us gather together and worship our shepherd. And it said, enter into his gates with thanksgiving. See, like I said, you cannot enter into these gates unless you know his character, unless you know what God continues to do for you, unless you're thankful to God. Let me tell you something. It's not your intellect that got you that job. It's not that intellect. It's not that you are so powerful that you know, your credit score wasn't all that good, but you got the car. You didn't know that much, but you passed the test. Come on now. You didn't study. You went to sleep. Oh, you know I'm right. You wasn't the best looking guy in town. I wasn't the best looking guy at Tennessee State, but I got Evelyn. Are y'all with me? Or have you gone to sleep on me? They said, we have to know why we come in here and praise God. They said, and when you know why you come in here and praise God, you come in here and give thanks to God. Say, enter into his gate, enter into the church that he wanted all of these nations. And man, if we had all of these nations that I called off to be able to, these spokesmen that would go back to their nations and proclaim this, we wouldn't have all of this ISIS and all this killing and all this mayhem. If they would just enter into the gates, God's got the solution. And we say, so long as we receive God's mercy, we must also give thanks. As long as we receive God's mercy, we ought to be able to give thanks. So come into his courts with praise. We ought to come into his courts letting everybody know that I have approved how God has blessed me. I have approved what God has done for me. I have approved it so much so that I don't have to go to the riverboat to make ends meet in my house. I have approved what God has done for me. When I look around at my house and I don't have to go down to the jail to get my children out, I have approved what God has done for me. I have approved when I go to these jails and I see young men, my son's age, locked up and got 40 and 50 years. I have approved what God has done for me. When I look around and I see how God has blessed me, you don't know how to shout, but I'm going to tell you in a minute. But it said, enter his gates with praise. And it says, and whatever court you come in, You ought to be able to give God some praise. And then that last verse, that fourth verse, it says, be thankful unto him and bless his name. Be thankful unto God and bless his name. If God bless you, you ought to be able to bless God. If God bless you, you ought to be able to bless God. I'm not talking about just clapping because I'm preaching. I'm talking about this ought to be down in your sanctified soul. You ought to bless his name. You ought to bless his character. You ought to bless his person. Whatever God does for you, you ought to bless God. And then that last verse, it says, for God, for the Lord is good. The first thing the devil tried to do in the garden is convince our parents that God was not good. The devil told Eve, what did God say? God ain't got your best interest. Or if you go and eat that fruit, you'll be just as wise as God. God wants to keep you down. God is not good. But I just stopped by to let you know that got us in trouble a long time ago. But I just want you to know God is good. Everything good that has happened to me, God did it. And that's why I have to praise God. He who does not praise God, he who does not praise God, does not realize the goodness of God. There's no way you can sit there and not give God praises when you think about your life and the thing. Well, wait a minute. You just may not know what praise is all about. Let me just share some things with you so you will know the seven dimensions of praise. You know, if you want a total God, that means an extension of your hands. Some people may want to just say, you may want to say total, you may want to say tata, whatever helps you. Tata God. If you want to totter God, you just have to lift your hands. Some of you may want to yada God. If you don't want to totter God, you ought to want to yada God. That is to give thanks or to confess your sins. Some of you may want to holler God, a hella God, to boast or to rave of his goodness. And number four, some of you may want to Shabbat God. Shabbat God. See, sometimes they say, you know, Baptist preachers are too loud. But you see, sometimes I have to Shabbat God. Because that's making a loud sound. That's a voice of triumph. You may want to Shabbat God. You may want to Torah God. You may want to Yada God. Or you may want to Hella God. Or you may want to Zima God. That is to make music and accomplish that music with a voice. Sometimes I feel like Zima God, and I may not have the music, but when the music come on the radio, I have to sing along with it. Sometimes you may have to Zima God. And then every now and then, I have to Barak God. I have to get down on my knees and call him up from heaven. See, I have to Barak God. I have to Barak him. And every now and then, I have to Tehillah God. I have to Tehillah God. When you Tehillah God, see, you sang that public praise with God. You have to Tehillah God. Tota God, Yada God, Hela God, Shabbat God, Zela God, Barak God, Tehillah God. I don't know what you want to do. I don't know if you want to Barak God. I don't know if you want to Tota God. I don't know if you want to Yada God. I don't know. But you got to do something if you realize the goodness of God. Whatever suits your fancy. You can't say I can't praise God because I just gave you seven dimensions. It ought to fit somewhere. Well, I worship Christ. You ought to be able to do one of those things. Don't worry about it. It's going to be on the website, and I'm going to put it up there so you all know the seven dimensions of worship. Come on now. Y'all don't have to be trying to write it down because you may misspell something. Hallelujah! I want you to get it right. I want you to be able to yoda, tota, and holler God. So don't come to church and say, well, in one of those seven ways, Seven is complete. Am I right, Reverend Smith? In one of those seven ways, you ought to do something. Am I right about it? You ought to be able to do something. If you can't Barak him, you ought to Shabak him. You ought to be able to do something with. What are you going to do with God? I told you last week, Simeon said, whatever you do with Jesus is going to make it rise or fall. What are you going to do with Jesus? But he was waiting to see the risen Christ. You got to do something. God has been too good for us not to praise him. God has been too good. We ought to give him some praise. We ought to lift up his name. God is good. We ought to give him some. Stand up on your feet. Stand up, everybody. You ought to Shabak him. You ought to Barak him. You ought to give God some praises. You ought to God. You ought to give him some praises. Give God some praises. Out of seven ways, you ought to have one of them. Hallelujah, church. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Give God the glory. You may be seated.